Let's go ahead and open our Bibles up to chapter 17 of the book of Revelation. And so appropriate, brothers and sisters, let's learn to rule and reign right now. Let's really, by the grace of God, let's enter in. Let's not be double-minded. Let's not be tossed to and fro. Let's go in with full assurance of faith in Jesus' name, believing that this is mine. And in that, praise God, you'll see the boldness in your life. This isn't just something for another time. This isn't something for somebody else. This is for me, and it's for now. And I thank God that we need to begin to rule and to reign jointly together with Jesus Christ now. Right now. Praise the Lord. So, as we get back into this, remember that we left off with this judgment of the great harlot. We're going to see this in chapter 17 and 18 in great detail. And the reason of this, and the reason there's such great judgment here, is because this is the great mother of harlots. This is this religious system that's working even right now, that's been going on even as Brother Paul, as he wrote that, it during his time. It's been there, and it's been in that hidden wonder. But I'll tell you, that mystery is going to be revealed in its fullness of this harlot and this religious apostasy in a height and a magnitude because, again, first and foremost, the bride is taken out of the way. When he who hinders is taken out of the way, that's when all of this begins. When the bridal company is raptured, praise be to God, that's right when the tribulation will be ushered in. And then we get to the point after the 144,000 is raptured, that final company of the church. Then we see that the devil will be soon after that released as a roaring lion. At that time, the devil, it says, he knows he has but a short time. And there's going to be such a wrath and a fierceness. And God, again, is going to allow, as we'll read tonight, all of the forces and demonic things of hell itself will be completely unleashed upon this earth. It will be something that the earth has never seen. And God is obviously speaking of it. But here we are, that through Paul's gospel, we're seeing, yea, the deep things of the ruling and reigning jointly together with Jesus Christ that's going on within this. The true joy of the Lord, the beauty of the good pleasure of the Lord is his wife. And we are seeing that interaction of the husband and wife in this absolute euphoria that Jesus Christ is going to be magnified, hallelujah, as God. And it's marvelous. And I thank the Lord that we can receive these things and look forward to that time. But this gives us this reference as we begin here again. And we spoke of this last week. Going back to chapter 2 of Revelation. In the church of Thyatira, this was, again, this warning to those that were part of this system. And it's amazing because those that leave Thyatira at this time, going into this great tribulation time, these are the ones that will be part of that little group of believers that will be, again, slain during the time of this, that we see under the altar, those martyrs in Revelation chapter 6. And then the ones that come out of here will also be of that company of saints that will live through and go on even into the millennium. So it's very sweet to know this, that, you know what? Through Christ, I can do all things. Believing in the power of the blood of the Lamb, I'll tell you what, these precious brethren, they'll deny the mark of the beast, even though they were in the belly of the beast in that church. Let's just say it as it is. But it's so awesome here in 2:21, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her. She's that great whore. And her into that great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your work. But unto you, I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. The beautiful thing is, get out. You can hear that call. Get out of that. Come unto me. And how beautiful. But so we touched on these things of verses 1 and 2 in chapter 17 last week. And once again, which was so beautiful, we saw the bride. We saw the seven angels. Again, that's the bridal company in a different vision that John sees. But they're revealing and conducting the judgment. And it's so wonderful that one of these seven angels begins to speak with John to reveal these things to John, to tell John these things. Well, why would it not be the bridal saints? Amen? Aren't they the ones that truly have received the Holy Ghost? The ability in that infilling is to grow into all truth. Amen? To know that and to dwell in it and have it completely fulfilled, that we would know the love of Christ, know this depth that Jesus is going to have a bride, amen, that he's going to have a wife, amen, and she's going to know, and she knows him, and she knows the plan, she knows what's coming, hallelujah, she knows the end of the story, and she knows the details in the end of the story, because she knows him. And so this is so sweet, because she here is the one that, again, is explaining these things to John. And this great harlot by this time, again, we're getting into that last part of the 3.5 years of this of the tribulation. She's affected all the people. She's infected all of the kings of the earth. All of the nations are wandering after this system as they wander after the Antichrist. And she ensnares them with her lies. It's a false religious system. It's intoxicating to the world. It's intoxicating to the kings. And now it's intoxicating to all the political system with her lies. She has fornicated with all religions, and they're in her bed. And that's the truth. And this is what we've got. And this is what's so amazing, to truly, in spirit, see this going forth. And we can see these things rapidly beginning to line up right now in this world. It's looking for this. It's longing for someone to come up and say, I've got all the answers. I've got everything. We're just so torn and twisted and all of these different things. A man has got to come that's got to lead us. You watch. It's coming soon. But let's watch looking up. Amen? All right, let's go ahead and read verses 3 through 5 and get into this. So, 3 through 5 of 17. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having the seven heads and the 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, decked with gold, precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations, filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. So again, she's in this wilderness. This speaks of this vision of the world that John is getting at this time, late in the tribulation. And we have this picture of this woman directing the beast, the great harlot, decked in purple, scarlet, gold, precious stones, pearls, a golden cup. Now, we see this in much religions today. We see this. You see these colors in the great religions of the world. We see this gold. We see this. I was looking at very many pictures of Islam. Islam is covered with scarlet, as well as you see Catholicism. You have the scarlet, you have the purple, you have the chalices. You have all of these different things. What it's going to be, it's going to be a consortium of all of those things, because they're all going to come together. You know, we try to isolate it and said, well, it's this, and it's this, and it's this. Let me tell you something, it's the devil. And the devil's going to come in, and it's going to be in a system that combines, again, that the world has not seen. And it's going to come forth in such derision and power and, again, come in like a peaceful thing on this horse, the Antichrist. It's all working together, because the enemy, the Satan himself, has been able to put this together at this time. It's going to be a splendor that the world has never seen. But yet it's all a lie, because this woman, this Babylon, this system possesses all the abomination, filthiness, and they want to infect everyone and everything they have, they can, with this disease. Now, this allegiance again will be with the Antichrist. They will prop up this Antichrist. It will go on only for a short time until the Antichrist turns on the system. and destroys her. And again, as we said last week, that's all the devil can do. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's all he wants to do. He might make you think you're his friend and you're his pal. Even these sinners. Oh, yeah, I'm happy. And, you know, they'll write those horrible things on themselves and, you know, print things on them and do horrible things. Oh, yeah, I'm the devil's friend. You ain't the devil's friend, buddy. You're not. He's going to steal and kill and destroy everything of you, too. So you better know the only one who truly is a friend is Jesus. And people need to know it. But this overreaching power, brothers and sisters, is really something. This is a religious entity that's going to come forth. But we shouldn't be surprised. Because again, the Word of God has told us this. This thing has been working and continues to work. It's prevalent in our world. We see this in all of the different religions. I mean, we pick out the largest ones just because they're more evident. But you see the imams of Islam and the different ones that lead. They're not just about preaching a religion. They want political power. They want gain. They're after lands. They're after basically enslaving. And it's the same thing, I will tell you, as we've seen through the ages. It's the same thing with Catholicism. Look at the Pope. He's so active politically. It's like, wait a second. I thought Jesus just came to preach the word. I thought he was just involved, to be honest with you, with the things above. Didn't he point to everything about it? He said, don't be entangled with the affairs of this life. Why is religion so entangled with the affairs of this life? Because that's exactly it. It's religion. It's not spiritual. Spiritual is what? From above. Every good thing is from above. And that is so evident. That's the light that is preached. And that's the sad thing even about our Christian brethren. They get entangled with the affairs of this life. They get into political things. Come on. That's preached from pulpits. Well, we need to vote for this one. Well, you couldn't be a Christian if you're not this or that. Get away from that. Get away from that. She is so gone, the only place that she sees herself, I'm talking about the bride, is seated together with him. Amen. That's it. And I thank the Lord. Yes, we go through this life, and God has put us here in purpose, but I'm not of this place. You're not of this place. And by the grace of God, there's got to be that fight of faith going on all the time. Because God so chose to put us in this great sensitive nerve that everything is of this flesh in a sense. I see with my eyes, I hear with my ears, I feel, I have emotions. I have all of these different things. And God loves that. Because without that, faith couldn't be in its magnificent, absolute presence of revelation if we didn't have such adversity in this vessel. Praise God. That just magnifies him. Amen. Because if we're really honest with ourselves, we know we're just one failure after another failure after another failure. But then the grace of God is so awesome. It's so wonderful. And it brings us faith and we abound in hope. And we understand, as Brother Paul said, yeah, the good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, yeah, that I do. But then you get right over to Romans 8. Yes, but by his Spirit. And he lays it down right away. I love how it begins right there. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm free indeed. See, where there is no law, there is no sin. Amen. Do you get that? I want to get that. Amen. And receive that. And I thank the Lord that there's no law over this life because he nailed that to the cross for me. Amen. It's fulfilled. Hallelujah. Doesn't mean I go out and sin willfully that grace would abound. I thank the Lord that, praise God, with that revelation of that love and that grace. That's what transforms this heart. That's what causes it to be lowly and to say, oh Lord, I want you to will and to do of your good pleasure in me. See, he didn't say it, Jesse, go will and do of your good pleasure for me, did he? He said, let me will and do of my good pleasure in you. Amen. Praise God. Let's get excited about the one thing. Amen? All right. So, we see this going on. And you see that this system here, as we see, has set herself up like a queen, like a virgin, like a virtuous woman. But see, it's filthy works. That's why he says, I'm going to give you according to your works. Aren't you thankful that everything that was given to us, then everything that is given to us, which is freely, is because of the work that was finished on the cross? Now, I understand that faith without works is dead. I get that completely. But I thank the Lord, it's because of that sweet Jesus, that grace, hallelujah, by grace through faith, the grace that gives me the faith, as I believe God, there'll be good works that'll just flow out of this life. Hallelujah. But it's because of the grace of God. It's because of Jesus. It's because of the life that lives in me. It's because of yielding. I don't sit there and worry about what good work I'm going to do. That's nonsense. Just like I've said many times, I don't think, what would Jesus do? If he lives in me, he's going to do it. Amen. I don't think, what would Jesse do? You know, I don't sit there and contemplate that on a couch. You know, it just, you do. It breathes. It lives. I thank God. I think it's so simple. And Lord, help us just take that cookie off the shelf. But this is a counterfeit. We see that it's a counterfeit of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And it's a counterfeit in the Antichrist being the counterfeit of Christ. It's a counterfeit in the false prophet being as if he were the Holy Ghost. It's a counterfeit of the devil himself presenting himself as God. And that's going to be wiped out, big time wipe out. And we thank the Lord that that's going to be done that way. He'll come and his judgment will pour forth. But it is a mystery. See how it says there in verse 5, mystery, Babylon the Great? There's a secret there of a hidden agenda in this religious falsehood. But see, it's known to those that walk in the light. You can see that. We discern spirits, amen? God gives us that. We don't need to be confused. We don't need to be fearful. I thank the Lord I walk in the light. I thank the Lord that we can try the spirits. I thank the Lord that he's for me, and if he be for me, who could be against me? I thank the Lord that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen? That's when we walk boldly, because I know that he's set before me. I know he's behind me. I know his hand is upon me. Praise God. So these are these things that we just rejoice and have peace that passes all understanding as we walk through this life. But see, her name is Babylon. Babylon, again, means confusion. Who's the author of confusion? We know it's the devil, the mother of harlots. And we said last night, she's a mother of harlots, so she's got daughters, hallelujah, that are harlots. And brothers and sisters, we must know this. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. But again, we are not ignorant of the devil's devices. Yeah. Yep. No weapon formed against us can be used. We understand that. And I'm not ignorant of the devil's devices. Once again, the little leaven. We read about those seven churches, didn't we? How do you think the Pergamos got started? How do you think Sardis came about? It's that little leaven. It's that working of, again, compromise. It's that working of, you know, I think about that, about the children of Israel and the different things about Israel. You know, there were things that would happen within their group and things. And, you know, the Lord, he would smite them. And there were different things that went down that were corrected. But I'll tell you, when the Lord got the most upset was when they would go down and they would start to infiltrate with other people. When they would start to get in with those other gods. When they would start to get in and bring in the idols and those things that weren't after the things of God. See, that was the thing with, again, Solomon, which was so sad. That life that went after God and loved the Lord and lifted up his hands and praised God and asked the Lord for wisdom because he knew he didn't have any, and God increased him so. But all of those wives and concubines, they turned his heart to other gods. See, he wants that first love, doesn't he? See, he doesn't want anything between. That was that precious place that he showed. And David, even though he bumbled and stumbled and did all of those things that were horrible, just be honest, you know, there were some really horrible things. Bloody man and all of that. But yet the Lord said, you know what? His heart was perfect with me in everything. Isn't that wonderful? I would love a lot of my brethren to read that verse tonight. Amen. Aren't you thankful for grace? Praise his name. All right. So, this is all personified, all of these abominations in this Babylon. And it's amazing to think how much power and influence will be given. Everything will be given over in such a short amount of time. All nations, All unclean birds, we've read that earlier. That means all religions. Every false religion will follow after this. Now, let's just stop for just a moment and think, but yet God in his grace, even in our lifetime, has shown us this in very wonderful types and shadows that were very awful instances and parts of our history. Think about Hitler. Hitler was an absolute nothing. I mean, he was nothing. Failure, flop, all of these different things. God showed how a nothing could rise to power so quickly. And then you think about how the ones that he would go out to destroy, which was the Jew, 3 years before he set out to actually have them rounded up in train cars to be shipped out to concentration camps to be gassed and exterminated. 3 years before that, the Jewish organization there in Germany ran paper articles. Brother Scott gave me the article that they endorsed him fully, that every Jew in Germany should be voting for Adolf Hitler. Yeah. Brothers and sisters, man does this stuff. This isn't anything new. You return to your own vomit, but for God. So don't let this be a surprise. Don't, you know, people read Revelation, oh, that could never happen. Come on, it's already kind of happened over and over and over. This is just, okay, it's going to end. It's going to end because now it's time. I've got my wife. It's going to end. And so these are the things that happen. And again, God shows us today. Think about our leaders of today. And I'm not saying this for anything. Our leaders aren't seasoned in all of this type of thing. God's even shown us this in these last elections and all of these different things. I'll put people up speedily. Speedily, that you never thought. That happens like that. Men and women that have been in there forever. Thinking, okay, it's my turn. It ain't your turn if God says it ain't your turn. And they're shocked and surprised. And the one you never thought, whoom, there it is. I'm just saying that in glory to God. If we would just wake up, he's showing us this. Honeys, I'm going to do this. Don't doubt me. Don't you doubt. And this will come upon the earth so rapidly. It could be today. And we must be ready. Be ready. Not get ready anymore. This gospel's been preached. Take it and be ready. All right, let's go over to 6 and 7. And I saw the woman drunken with blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered after her with great admiration. This is John speaking. Think about this. He sees this woman. He sees this Babylon that, again, that has the blood of the saints on. And what does he say? I wondered after her with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and the 10 horns. Now again, drunken with the blood of the saints. These are those martyrs. We read about them there in Church of Thyatira. These are the ones, again, Revelation 6, that we'll see under the altar. And they call out in Revelation 6, they said, Lord, how long will it be till you'll avenge our blood? I love that. It's coming. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He's going to repay. He's going to do it. And let me tell you, let him do it. And notice what John says here. I wondered with great admiration. See, this great whore presents herself so beautiful. This harlot, so majestic. We got to go over to Matthew 24 and read this. Get over to Matthew 24. Listen to this. This is why in this type, you see, John, he's wondering with great admiration. Let's read why. That's Matthew 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation. This is right where we're at. Such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor shall ever be. And except those days be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then, if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets. and shall show great signs and wonders. That's what we've been reading about the Antichrist and the false prophet. And what does it say? They shall, insomuch that if it were possible, and thank you, Jesus, it isn't possible, but if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Huh? All right. So there it is. We see that. And what's so beautiful here is it's the bride that that says, "Why are you marveling, John?" Amen? Isn't that a bridal saint? Has he ever used you like that when somebody, I'm telling you, one of your brothers or sisters are starting to talk stupid? Why are you talking stupid? I just think that there's such encouragement in this. I know there's many layers in here, but let's take it for what it is and let it visit with us. And you know, when a brother or sister in the Lord that truly is spiritual, that's restoring, they may say something. Why are you marveling at that? Why are you playing around over in that? I'm not judging you. I love you. Why are you letting these winds of doctrine kind of dazzle you or entertain you? Sober up. And what does the bride say? Thank you, Jesus. I know. I'm going to tell you the mystery of the woman, the beast, the seven heads, the ten horns. Let's not be deceived. And what does the seven angels, the one of the seven angels go right to not to be deceived? The word of God. It's going to minister to John the word of God. Amen? And that's just like our lives. People starting to get carried away and nutty. Here's the word of the Lord. And if they want to hear it, great. If they don't, pray. But at least be instant. It's just the old devil. It's just the false light. That readied wife immediately cuts off the wanderings. And I pray that we're like that. When people want to just get down there and start talking things that aren't true. When people want to start, you know, well, you know, I don't know about eternal security. And I'll tell you, one I always get with people so many times that they're trying to always wrestle with and trying to tell me about how you can be filled with the Holy Ghost without the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I sit there with the scriptures. I say, look, I'm not going to argue with you. And I'm not. I don't want to. I want to give you the scriptures. If you want to reason together in the scriptures, I'm good. But if we're going to sit here and argue, I'm done. And so, but one of the sweetest things that the Lord gave me a long time ago, and I was just visiting with a couple sisters in the way here to church, is that this one brother who had kind of been in here for a while and all, I said, now, I'm going to tell you something. One of the evidences of this in the Word of God, and you all know this. I've said this before. Show me a saint that truly loves the bridal message and loves truly and sees Paul's gospel and sees that rib portion company and is running for that prize and assembles themselves together with those saints of like precious faith and wants to hear that message of Paul's gospel that isn't filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And the answer is you won't. Because that's the word of the Lord. It won't come about without it. You have to have that infilling to even begin to be led into all truth. So thank you, Jesus, for that. But those are the types of things I'm talking about, brothers and sisters. Stop it. You don't have to be rude. But let's just stop that. And let's get into the Word of God. Let's always go back to the Word of God. And I love this because the bridal saints always see the events of life in the bridal truth. And I pray, Lord, all the time for my life. I need to see my life in bridal truth. I need to see my life in Romans 8:28. I need to see my life in all of these different things about the grace of God working in me. I need to see that wonderful bridal truth, praise God, real in my life that, you know, there'll be failures in different things, but in his faithfulness, he afflicts me. I need to see that, praise be to God, that if you'll suffer with me, son, you'll reign with me. That's seeing my life in bridal truth. That ministers to my life when I'm down, that the Lord has me to feed and I rise up, praise God. All right, let's get back to verse 8. Got to move along here. Whew. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is. And I love that. The Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world. See, he saw your life in Christ. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Grateful to God in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. But see, that's the beast. The Antichrist receives that mortal wound. We've talked about this. The Antichrist will be one of those seven heads. It will receive that mortal wound and die. And God will allow the devil to have the power to resurrect that one from the very pit of hell. From the very pit of hell. To be revived. We also saw that type in the Roman Empire. And I love that. I think there's many types and shadows in this thing. The Roman Empire didn't die. That's why that last empire at this time that we see from Nebuchadnezzar and all of those different types and shadows in that, we see this culmination of all of those great empires of the world in this last one. Yeah. Rome's still been kind of existing over there in Europe and all of these different things. But this specifically is to this one, this person, I believe very truly in the word of God, that is going to receive that mortal wound and be raised, and the world will follow after him. And that's the prominence that'll go on. And you notice those that are not saved, those that are not found written in the Lamb's book of life, what does it say? They shall wander after the beast. I've had people say, "Brother, are there zombies?" Well, here's your zombies. Okay, there you go. I say that chuckling, you understand. But they're walking dead. If you don't have the life of Christ, you're dead. But these truly will be in that such a state of just horrified death. They'll be following after that beast. But notice, it's only those that are not saved. Praise God. All right, 9 through 11. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen. One is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. The reason that it talks about the eighth is because it was of the seven, dies, comes back, and that's why it's called the eighth. It's truly seven, but because it comes back again, it's like, ooh, it's a new thing. But these ten, as it speaks of, these ten horns, you know, well, first of all, the seven heads, those seven mountains, are the seven nations. And we see that the seven nations have seven kings, one falls, and that one that comes back to life, the Antichrist, rules over the rest of them. But then, in verse 12 and 13, and the ten horns which thou saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdoms as yet. So these are ten kings that don't have a kingdom yet. And receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. So a very short amount of time, these ten kings that had no kingdom, they join forces with the beast. And he goes ahead, this Antichrist, and says, okay, now here's your power. You go along with me and I'll give you power. I'll let you have some kingdom, if you want to call it that. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. So again, we talked about this many times. These ten, I appreciate Brother Hawkins had written a little bit on this. This could be the rogue nations right now of the terrorists. You know, They're powers, but they don't have a kingdom yet. But they're sure seeking for one, you know. And they're out there, and they all have these different names, Boko Haram and all of these different ones. So could it be that? Absolutely. I've seen some people that love the Lord a lot. They talk about the old Soviet bloc countries that this could be. I don't know. But the one thing I know is it'll be. I don't know exactly which ones it'll be. I know it'll be over there in that Middle East. I know it'll be over there in that area. I know they're going to gather there. In that valley, I know they're going to be called there, and I know God's going to destroy them right there. And it's going to be awesome how this all works. But it is. They're going to enjoin, and they're going to have one mind, and just think that mind is going to be that they want to devour Israel. They want to wipe Israel out until God turns them to devour one another. And that's the beautiful thing. They begin to devour one another. You know, the Antichrist, the beast, and the kings, and, you know, they all kind of go back on one another. We talk about those rats and different things like that. I love that. You know, you're holding hands with the rats, and you say, oh, you're a rat, and they start eating each other. And that's kind of this situation here. But see, God did that many times in the Old Testament. Again, this isn't new. He did that with the Midianites. He did that with the Philistines. What I'm talking about is Israel thought they were going to have to go down into battle and fight these guys. And the Lord said, here, just stand back, watch the mighty hand of God. And he'd throw those camps and those armies in such derision and confusion, they would get up with their own swords, and it says that they would thrust them through each other until they killed everyone, thousands and thousands of men. And Israel just sometimes... they'd just sit there and just watch. Sometimes God would bring them into there and they would just, you know, does somebody get this? How powerful is our God? And this is exactly, again, this isn't new. The Lord has shown us this over and over and over, that Israel never even had to go into the battle. God gave them the battle. And take that for our lives, brothers and sisters. Know who fights for you. Oh, it's never over. Praise God. You know, that's for overcoming. It is. It truly is. And we thank the Lord in that. All right, let's read verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb. That's a bad war to make. Just I'll tell you, that's a really bad one. You don't want to fight with God. You don't even want to wrestle with God, ask Jacob. See, or an angel, I should say, and you just don't even want to do that. But that's wrestling with God's word. And I don't want to wrestle with God's word. I want to believe God's word. I want to receive that. But see, these nations, this beast, they will make war with the Lamb. And what's going to happen? The Lamb shall overcome them. Brothers and sisters, the enemy, when he's allowed, tries to make war with us. But the same thing, the Lamb shall overcome them. Know that for your life. Believe it. It's a lot wonderful, more peaceful place to trust God. Even when it doesn't look good, trust God. Even when you're in a furnace, trust God. Even when you're in the lion's den, trust God. And how beautiful that is. But see, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords, and he's the King of kings. And here's what's so sweet and wonderful. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And all I can say there is, ain't our husband grand? I love this. Oh, what a wonderful, the best part here. The Lord, the Savior, the King, the mighty God. But our husband, hallelujah. And I want you to think about these three things. About and they that are with him. Called, chosen, faithful. I want you to think about this in the light of who he's speaking of here, because, again, those that are with him, especially in this time of judgment, it's the bride. Was not the bride called away? Wasn't she called? You talk about a calling. Aren't you called to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus? Isn't it wonderful, as it says, the vocation there in Colossians, to which we are called? Again, the high calling. I love that. We are called to that. And by the grace of God, we're going to be called away by a trumpet. Called away. Now, I love that. So we can get that and receive it and say, thank you, Jesus. And then chosen. This word chosen in the Greek means the best of its kind. Amen. Praise God. I have been offered salvation with eternal glory. Hallelujah. Praise God, Son glory. So we're talking about ones that are called away, the high calling. We're talking about chosen. Oh, yes, the best of its kind. And finally, and how wonderful, faithful. Full of faith. They just believe it. See, we can have that calling. We can have that best of its kind in our lives. But by the grace of God, it's all got to be by faith. And to be full of that faith. And that's why, praise the Lord, it says praying in the most holy faith. Let that word just kind of bring everything together. The most holy. Holy means set apart, sanctified. Amen? Well, I'll tell you what, bridal truth is the most sanctified faith you could ever have. It's the most out from among the camp believing you could be. You know, here's the camp sitters, and you know, you start believing in the bridal truth, you're so far away. You know, and they don't want to come out there. Let that nut go. You know, it's kind of like, get them out of here, and that's fine. But those are the ones that go out from among the camp. That's that most holy faith. That's why once that full of faith, that believing, and again, because of the high calling, the best of its kind, full of faith. Isn't that wonderful? The Word of God, again, is so perfect. He's in the details. He's in every single word and how it speaks to us who believe. And that's exactly who the bride is. This is the high watermark. These are those that grow from the good will of God to the acceptable to even the perfect will of God. See, I love that, you know, in that Trinity working, that Trinity power, the Philadelphia saints called, chosen, hallelujah, and by the power of his might, it said they kept the word. And then by the power of his might, it goes back and it gives that double portion. It gives that sufficient witness. They have kept the word of my patience. And I love that. We're reading about something, brothers and sisters. We're calling those things which be not as though they were. We're waiting for that. I know this is done. I'm just waiting for it. And it's going to come. By the grace of God, it's going to come. And it's going to come in the hour they think not. It's going to come when they're going to say, where is your God? Where is his coming? And we're in that time. Praise the Lord. But be patient. As Jesus said to those disciples even praying, couldn't you tarry just a little while longer? Well, let me tell you something. I want to tarry just a little while longer. I want this. I want this mark for the prize. Praise God. This is what we're battling for. Wrapping this up. Appreciate, but it's just too exciting to leave these last few verses. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou saw, where the whore sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So again, she sits over all of it. And the 10 horns which thou saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. Even though they all get together, they hate her. That's all the devil can do, hate. Oh, I love you, I love you. Oh, I hate you. I hate you. Just waiting for the time I'm going to kill you. That's the devil. That's the devil. When we listen to these things, it's the same one. Don't let him do that to your life. And shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath... This is what's so amazing. They're going to do this. And why are they going to do this? I love it. For God hath put this in their hearts to fulfill his will. Yes. Hallelujah. This is for the world. How much even more so for your life? That he's those evil ones that have come against you, those ones that have come out to harm you. Praise God. I know what my God did. He put it in your heart to fulfill his will. Praise God. His will in me. Amen. And to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast. See, the Lord's directing all of it. They can't even make a decision except for they refuse the Lord. Okay, you're going to refuse me? I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you to glorify and to magnify me. Watch it. Watch what's going to happen. It's all going to magnify me. Wait a second here. We'll get back into the Old Testament just a second so we don't forget he's done this before. And give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Now, he appoints the wicked for the day of evil. He even puts it, as we just read here, in the wicked's hearts because they wouldn't believe. And as I said, this isn't new for God. As we close this up, go back to Exodus chapter 7. Let's read about what God told Moses about Pharaoh. All right? In Exodus 7, 3 and 4. Isn't this really just a type and shadow in a sense of what God's going to do? about how he brought them, he saved them out of Egypt, brought them through all these things, and then he destroyed the army, didn't he? This is just, that was just a little tidbit, like a taster, like an appetizer, if you will, of what God's going to do at the main course. And here it is in 7:3, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart. See, it wasn't just because I didn't choose Pharaoh. No, he would have, that every man would come to him. Amen. But he knew Pharaoh rejected him. So fine, you reject me, I'm going to really harden your heart. And here's why. And multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Isn't that what we've been reading about even in the end times? Remember it says how he'd do all these different things, and what did they do? They blasphemed him. They blasphemed God. They knew God was doing these things. Just like in Egypt, they knew God was doing those things. But they wouldn't turn to God. Just again, the same thing. Man will not change but for God. And Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, Moses, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt. There's a plan in this, Moses. And bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Go on over to Romans chapter 9 and verse 17. This is so wonderful. Take this personally. For the scripture saith, this is 9:17 of Romans. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, isn't that amazing? Saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Praise Jesus. Yes, he'll do it. And then finally in verse 18, as we close this up, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. So this again leaves no doubt who this woman is. Babylon, all right? The religious system. And as we know, praise God, it is working now. That was back in 2 Thessalonians 2:7. This system takes full authority in the last half of the tribulation. And praise be to God, it is all ordered and directed to magnify the absolute perfection of the will of the Lord. Amen. All right. I'm exhausted in how good he is. I don't know about you. But Lord willing, I'll sleep good. Praise his name. I'm thankful I believe him. This stuff makes me happy. You talk about abounding hope. You talk about a goal. Matter of fact, it's a mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.